If it's happening now, we're talking about it. This is Hamilton Today with Scott Thompson on 900 CHML.
All right, we certainly know of the ongoing war, Russian invasion of Ukraine, and now with so many other conflicts or other world events going on, this, you know, perhaps not as top of mind as it once was. Now the mayor of Kyiv is worried that measures taken to defend his nation in the ongoing fight against Russian invasion is transforming Ukraine into an autocracy. Arl Brown with us, professor, international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. And here now, Arl, thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
Are you surprised to hear this from the mayor of Kyiv? What are his concerns?
I'm not entirely surprised. We are all familiar with the cliche that a victory has a thousand fathers, defeat, It's not that Ukraine has been defeated, but the victories that they were enjoying in the fall of 2022 have not been built on because they have not received the equipment that they had hoped for. It has been a kind of trickle lately. The approval of funds is held up in the U.S. Congress. Germany has been slow in delivering both equipment as well as money, so they need to step up. So there are all sorts of concerns. You are going to have more friction. And this is a very difficult situation where Ukraine has sustained very significant losses. And lastly, we should also know that the mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, a former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, and President Zelensky have been political rivals for quite some time now. So some of the concern is a reflection that democracy is alive and well in Ukraine, that you can criticize freely. But the other element does involve personal rivalry. It does involve the stress of conflict and inadequate help. So there is frustration.
Is this positive? Does this help? Does this not only create divisiveness?
I don't think it's particularly positive because the interviews that Vitaly Klitschko gave were to outside papers, and one of the first rules in any conflict is that you don't go outside to make your case to criticize the government. Klitschko was fairly careful to say that he was not asking for the ouster of Zelensky, and he was not calling for elections right now because it would be impossible to hold elections under the current circumstances with so many millions of people who have been made refugees. But he did address some authoritarian tendencies, and perhaps there were some because it is a difficult situation, and it would not be harmful for Zelensky to look into some of these measures, whether they affect the press or whether it's a selection of local officials. But airing these grievances outside is not very likely helpful.
Do others share the same concerns as the mayor?
Yes. I mean, when things are not going exactly as expected, when Zelensky cannot deliver the foreign aid that he had hoped for, and he's not as effective as he had been in the past, his return from some trips abroad empty-handed. So that would create frustration, would increase criticism. These are a reflection of stresses that are natural in any conflict that is prolonged. We are moving on to 2 years now of this conflict. It is winter. It is a very difficult period for Ukrainian forces. They are under relentless attack from Russia, and Russia has been getting help from Iran. They've been getting help from North Korea, and Vladimir Putin doesn't particularly care about the losses of the lives of Russian soldiers.
What else can Zelensky do? I mean, is it him? Are there alternatives? Are there other options that are better?
I wouldn't think so. He has been a remarkable historical figure, but no one is perfect. So I'm sure he has made some mistakes. But you always look at the entire package. And overall, I do not think there's any other leader in Ukraine at the moment who would have both the domestic or the international stature. It still is the most popular leader within Ukraine. But I think that the West should pay heed to this, because at one level, it's perfectly healthy that in a democracy, you would have these kind of discussions, that there would be an airing of grievances. There can always be improvement. But it is also a reflection of the inadequate help that Ukraine has been given. And it's an enormous amount at stake, because this is a conflict about democracy as well. This is something where you have a threat against the international system, against international law. This is the same kind of thing where you have Iran and Hamas attacking a democracy. So it is part of an assault on the democratic world. And helping Ukraine is not an act of charity. Helping Ukraine is something that ought to be part of enlightened self-interest among the Western countries. And we have been rather slow, and we are tied up with our own domestic problems, which at one level is understandable. But at the same time, we need to be able to deal both with domestic problems and realize that we live in a globalized system where it matters what happens in Ukraine, and it matters profoundly to us much more than we sometimes assume.
Those that may be critical of Zelensky, does that necessarily mean they might be somewhat soft or supportive of Russia?
Not, certainly not in the case of Vitaly Klitschko. He had been very firm in his defiance as well as condemnation of Russia. So this is not a division between those who would want to take a tough line with Russia and insist on restoring sovereignty in Ukraine, but rather it is a dispute among individuals who share the larger strategic goal, but they differ in terms of implementation and perhaps in terms of personal ambition as well.
It sounds, Arl, like things have not been going well for Ukraine of late. Is that fair?
I wouldn't be too pessimistic, but there are reasons to be concerned. Ukraine is running short of ammunition. They have taken significant losses. They are under relentless pressure from a ruthless leader in Russia. So we better step up because it could turn worse. But there are still many opportunities for Ukraine to turn this around. Russia does not have an infinite supply either of soldiers or weapons, despite the importation of large quantities of weapons from Iran and from North Korea and help from China.
And despite what Ukraine may be going through or the troubles and challenges now, Russia hasn't won yet.
Well, this is, again, where we need to have this perspective, that when we look at the beginning of this conflict, the expectation was that Russia was just going to roll over Ukraine, that within a couple of days they would be in Kyiv, that Ukraine would be destroyed. The advice was for Zelensky to flee. And so Ukraine has been able to take back at least half of what Russia conquered in 2022. They have been able to hold the line. So in many ways, it has been a remarkable performance, but far from perfect, and they are having difficulty now because they have reduced supplies of ammunition. In some cases, they have only some like 2,000 shells that they can fire a day when they need to fire the double number of that to make sure that the Russians don't succeed in their prodding attacks. But Russia has not made that much progress. So whatever Russia attacked, they have taken over very little territory and at the cost of horrendous losses, both in terms of soldiers and of equipment. So I think we should not overestimate Russia, but at the same time, we have to look at the reality that this conflict is going on, and Ukraine is standing up, but we need to make this, we have to understand that we have a very large stake in this. We're not bystanders. We cannot afford to get away from Ukraine, because a Ukraine that would be defeated would not be the last of Russia's ambitions. will be the beginning.
Harold Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. Harold, always fascinating. Thank you for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.